Today we want to answer the question and hopefully open the door to a deeper understanding of salvation. Why suffering? We see and we look around the world and we see suffering. We see injustice one after the other. Why do we have suffering? Why? I believe the answer is that suffering is a way that God deals with us. You remember the Apostle Paul? In a way that God humbles us. The Apostle Paul, here he was, a mighty man of God. Here he was teaching and preaching, raising up churches. And God sends him a thorn in the flesh. It wasn't the devil. Now, God can use the devil. But this is God sending him a thorn in the flesh so that he may not exalt himself, that is Paul, over anybody else, and that Paul would be humble. Because when we're humble, God can use us more effectively than in our pride. So, Father in heaven, as we have this message today on why suffering, please open our hearts and our minds and give us an understanding why there's suffering in this world and how your plan is to help us through it all. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I want us to turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, and let's begin in verse 22. Why suffering? Why suffering? And here's what we see on the screen. Thank you, Elder Joe. But I want to look at also Romans 8, 18 through 23. For I consider, Paul wrote, the sufferings of this present time. Why do we have suffering today? He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Glory, hallelujah. We often say that, but I'm telling you, this is something to shout about. This is something that God is doing in the world. And the world is the way it is. We have the suffering because of sin. And God wants us to be conformed into the image of his Son and bring glory, glory to God as he shapes us and molds us into his image. Verse 19, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, for the revealing of you, the children of God. The whole creation is anxious for that. Do you realize how important this is? All of creation is like standing on its tiptoes, looking over a fence and seeing something, not being a part of it itself, but seeing this creation. It's an awesome thing that God has prepared. And it's an awesome thing that he's given us, making us his sons and daughters. For the creation waits in eager longing. It's like Christmas time. I can't wait. I can't wait. For the revealing of the sons of God. There's coming a day when the revelation of the creation of God. We are God's creatures in a mega sense. Not, I didn't say mega. I said mega. All right. Sense where God has us as his masterpiece. And he created us to bring glory to him, to see we are the sons and daughters of God, for the creation was subjected to futility. Why suffering? Because God subjected it to futility, because God has something greater, far greater than this physical creation. And guess what it is? Nay, guess who it is? It is you. It is us. Did you realize that God loved you that much to create you far beyond what's in a star or what's in a tree? As the song says, when I look and I see a tree, I know why I believe. Is that God has counted us glorious, Not that we are glorious in our own character, but he made us to be glorious, to shine and to reflect his light. We are reflections of God. We are not God, but we are reflections of God. We were created in his image. And he's called us to let our light shine. Another song I like, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. No matter where I go, I'm going to let it shine. I like to hear little kids say that. You know another song I've got that I like? It's called, I Got Shoes. You got shoes. All God's children got shoes. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to walk all around heaven. Why? Because we are the children of God. I like to see little children. I like to go barefooted myself, frankly, from time to time. But in heaven, we are going to be the glory of God. We're going to reflect the very glory of God. And God, you see, suffering, he uses it to mold us into his image, that we're more and more like him. That's a wonderful calling. That's a wonderful blessing that God would so love us. That's why it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's what God has given us. It's not the stars and the sun and the moon. That was in the creation. But what you are in Christ is awesome. Awesome is not the right word. There has not been a word yet made or created that God has for you. And God uses suffering to conform us into his image, to be like God, and that we would shine like the stars. We've had a couple of sermons, and thank you, Elder Drill, for them, about heaven and so forth. But let me tell you something. When you get to heaven, we're going to walk around God's heaven. We're God's children. But walk around because we're at home. We're at home. That's our home. This is not our home. And you see, we suffer because we realize this whole world is not our home. We get to thinking it is. We get to enjoying it. But it's to turn us to a brighter light. And that's to God and what he has for us. And he wants us to display. He wants you to be just like Jesus. And let that little light of yours, no matter where you go, let it shine. And put on them shoes. We're going to have shoes. That's a sign of wealth and glory. You see, a slave and the prodigal son left his father and he came back. They put him, they gave him some shoes. They gave him the father's robe, the best of the clothing there. That's how God is with us. This physical creation is nothing compared to the glory that God has given us. And God wants us to enjoy that. It says the glorious, let me read that again. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth. You're that child. Until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell in mankind first. When God created us, he created us for glory and honor and beauty. A lot of times I see us behaving and walking as if we're still slaves. We're not slaves. See, slaves didn't have shoes. But you got shoes and I got shoes. And all God's children got shoes. And I didn't mean to speak that way. Slip of the tongue, I guess. But when we get to heaven, we're going to walk around God's heaven. And God's going to welcome us. That we are his children. Everything that we have now is a foretaste. With the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons. Now, you're not an adoption from a legal point of view. You're an adoption from a spiritual point of view, that you are a child of God. Redemption of our bodies. No more suffering. The title of the sermon is God uses suffering to conform us into his image for his glory. Listen, with his glory, and God's conforming us. This is our hope. And we're saved now. And this hope is seen not in futility, but in glory. It's never going to change. The suffering is going to be done away with. There'll be no more crying, no more suffering, no more pain. Glory, hallelujah, has our Father for us. No more suffering. Why suffering? He wants us now to experience what sin, not you to sin, but the pains of sin. He wants us to know all of this that this world has is nothing. What he has for us is really something. It's the real deal, as they say. It's the real, real thing. And the suffering is to say, listen, this is tearing you down. This is suffering. So you move away from that which you're suffering. You move away from the source of the pain and to joy and peace and love. That's what God wants for us. And he wants to conform us into the image of his Son and to make us and to allow us to live that way in the glory of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your glory. We thank you that you have given us a hope and we don't have to suffer anymore. We thank you for your glory. And I pray that you'd open the eyes of our hearts so that we can see and be moved and we don't have to suffer no more. We can put on those shoes. We can put on that robe knowing we're home, home with you. Thank you, Father, even for the suffering. For the child that you love, you discipline them, who has a child that they would not discipline in love and in moderation. You're that Father. Thank you for the suffering. Thank you for your glory. Continue to conform us. We really, really want to be like you. We don't like suffering, Lord. So we ask you to lead us and guide us in the ways of peace and the ways of joy. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to partake of the bread and of the wine, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. This wonderful, wonderful God, as our Father, gave his only begotten Son, only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. As we partake of this bread, when we say we partake of it and we eat of it, we're saying that we receive it as the body and the blood of Jesus. If we drink of the wine, the blood of Jesus, we partake of it because we have faith that our sins have been forgiven, that he suffered and he died for us, but with view of life for us and life everlasting. And he conforms us by taking our sins. He conforms us into his very image because, as they say, you become what you eat. And in a spiritual sense, we're eating of the body of Jesus Christ. And it comes into us by faith. And we receive it by faith so that our lives will be changed. We'll remember what he's done. And we'll thank God for his blessing and for his mercy towards us. For we all deserve to be hung on a cross. But he took our place. He suffered. He died so that we could live. And so, Father, we ask that you bless this bread, that if, as we receive it, we receive the body and the blood of Jesus and all the benefits that are ours because of your Son. Thank you, Father, for being so generous and loving us so much. As we eat it, we thank you. Amen. Father, we thank you for this fruit of the vine, this wine. We thank you. It's through faith we believe that your Son's blood washed away all of our sins, all of the guilt of the past, all of the sins of the past. And you've given us the very righteousness of Christ. And there's nothing more holy and right than your Son. We don't deserve him. We don't deserve his blood, but you, by your grace, have given us the blood of your Son to wash away all of our sins. And therefore, we receive that and we declare that your Son has taken care and removed through the blood all of our sins, all of our failures. Thank you, Jesus, for your suffering for us. As we drink of this wine, I want us to listen to the song called Behold the Lamb.
Bread of life, and we drink of his strength.